a wonder in my soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this wonderful opportunity to study your word. Allow the Holy Spirit to take the text and unfold it, disclose it to us. Give us illumination and understanding. Reveal the principles that we might practice them for profit. And gracious God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise today for this blessed privilege. You may be seated in his presence. Amen. I just want to take a moment and just go over, before we jump into our text today, a quick review and of what we've studied for the last 3 weeks, just to make sure we've gotten some understanding. One of the things the Spirit of the Lord has been doing with me as it relates to Bible study is putting a challenge on my heart to challenge the people of God. You know, one of the things that a good teacher does is he tells you, or she tells you, what they're going to teach you. They teach you, and then they ask you to tell them what they taught you. That way, you know, it's layer upon layer. It's like line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But it measures the understanding when it's all said and done. And that's why there are quiz, tests, exams, all so that the teacher will be confident in what has been taught and knowing that the student has understood what has been taught and can take it, apply it, utilize it, make it a part of their lives, and thus become successful because of that teaching. So when we talked about wisdom, and of course scripture opened up Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Get. It's your responsibility to get wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Now, you can't expect God to do it all. You've got a part to play in it. And so part of that is what many of you are doing here today. You're sitting here in the presence of God and his word to get knowledge, to have knowledge imparted in terms of understanding to you. And so it's important to make sure that you understand all of those things so that you will be benefited and strengthened by it. See, when it's all said and done, it's what you get out of it when it's all said and done. How does it benefit you? How do you progress from this point and become elevated in life beyond this point, and that's what it's all about. So we talked about the basic Bible structure and studying to make sure that we understood some principles that would help us in getting the most out of the Word. And we talked about, first of all, the wisdom in the Word. Now, what were the three things, and we're going to go in order, that helps us to get the wisdom out of the Word of God? One was what? Insight. Insight. What is insight but sight into a meaning or message? You want to know what it is the Lord is saying to you about it. You want to understand what is the insight that he's showing you in this word, in this message, so that you can be blessed from it. Second is what? Instructions. Exactly. Because he gives you insight so that you can recognize that he has instructions filled in his word to help you get out of the word what he needs you to get out of it. So you're going to have to follow instructions to do that. And then what does it produce? Thirdly, inspiration. Inspiration to know that you're able to capture and you're able to capitalize on all of those things that others in the word were able to do. Whatsoever things were written, Romans 15:4, aforetime was written for our learning. So you're inspired by this because with patience and comfort of the scriptures, you might have hope. Hope that everything that God says is going to be, is going to be. Whatever you do that he says you must do, you're going to do and have. All of that brings hope, and that's inspiring. Moving to the second part is what? The working of the word. The working of the word, again, is where the rubber meets the road. That's where we really get into the nuts and bolts of the study of the scripture. And so what must we do first in understanding the working of the word? Research and expose, okay? We get that through studying the word and going through it and all of the rest of the principles we brought out in that. After we research and expose, what else do we do? We have what? Resources and examples. The word is filled with resources and examples. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. He's giving you an example there. He's giving you resources there. All you have to do is follow the instructions. You've gotten the insight of how it's going in at the end from the beginning. So all you have to do is put all of that into play. And then the third thing about working of the word is what? You resolve to execute. Exactly. You've got to make it up in your mind. Listen, if this thing is going to be done, I've got to do it. I can think it all day long, but thinking it won't make it. I've got to actually apply it. I've got to put it into practice. That's what makes the difference. Now comes the what of the word, third point. The when of the word. That's the when that comes from the word that you have applied, you have understood, and now you're practicing it for profit. For profit. Now you want some results from the insight, from the study, from the examples, and all of those things. Now it's like I'm practicing principles for profit. Meaning, if I want this to happen, I know the principles to practice. I do this, 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 and I can expect this. Why? Because principles are laws. They're God's statutes. They're God's standards. They're God's structure. And when I do my part, God has to do what? His part. So I have a biblical expectation that God is going to do what he said he's going to do when I do my part. My part, mixed with faith, done properly, yields me the profit. And that means I don't have to hope and wish. All I got to do is do. And when I do it, God is under warrant to make it happen. See, that's the difference between folk always, I wish this would happen. I hope this would happen. I'm praying this would happen. Well, why don't you do something to make it happen? And if you do what God says do, then you have God's word on that. So that's where you are practicing the principles And the principles, again, are his law, structure, standards, structure, etc. And you will receive the profit from it. Because that's how God works. He declares he is not a man that he should lie. If he's not said it, will he not do it? He's made his own word clear. He is the Lord. He changes not. And all we have to do is do what the word says do, and we will make our own way prosperous, and then we shall have what? Good success. All right. Now, I want you to know, amen, God's success. That's what good success is, God's success. All right, good, 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 good. Now, I hope that you're applying that to your study, because everything that we study, we are able, if we search it and apply the word, we're able to get meaning, deep meaning out of the word. I want to read this little illustration. Robert, talking about Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. I'm going to let him read this, and then I'm just going to walk through it and pick out some things to help you understand it from what we've just talked about, so that we can understand how to profit from those things. All right, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14 through verse 30.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey." Verse 16, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24, Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Mm-hmm. Verse 28, Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Mm-hmm. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Verse 30, And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Amen. Now, as we look at this story, there's much, much wisdom, much insight to be gained from this word. And we see the working of the word in all of the different twists and turns And then ultimately we have principles in that word that we can practice for profit. Now, one of the things that's so important is to understand what is God saying to us? What is the purpose? Is it just a story about a man going on a trip and leaving his goods to some servants to utilize the money and make money and that's it and so forth? No. When you begin to understand the story, when you begin to analyze it, when you begin to break it down, let me just give it to you in a nutshell. God has given to each of us a responsibility to utilize what he has given to us and make it better when we return it than when he gave it to us. In other words, every life at the beginning of life is given life. At the end of life, the measure is going to be, what did you do with the life I gave you? How did you benefit? How did you multiply it? How did you make things work? Let me just give you some insight into what he did for all three of them. The first thing he did with all three of the men was he trusted all three of them. He trusted all three. All three. He trusted them with his goods. Every one of them. Now, there was a variance in his trust, but nonetheless, it was trust. The one he gave one talent to was the one he trusted the least. The one he gave two, he trusted more. The one he gave five, he trusted the most. Now, this trust was based upon his knowledge of their ability, of their performance, of their willingness to execute what was given and make it more. And so knowing them, he gave them, listen, what they could handle. When we begin to look at this story applied to life, we look at some folk who are blessed with multiple gifts and talents and others with more than we have, and then maybe us, all of us will have one. All of us. God gives us life. He trusts us with that life. All of us will have at least one talent. The question becomes, what will we make of that one that he's entrusted to us? You see, most of us spend most of our time hating, being envious, worrying about what he's given somebody else and how they're using what they got, instead of taking the one that he's given us and using that to the best of our ability. Amen. You see, what you're saying to him was, I trusted you with the one, and the one has proved more than you can handle. And so when you begin to realize this, you see he gave them all the same ability to handle the things that they could handle. Each one, two, and five. That was all that they could handle. How do I know that was all they could handle? Because in the end, that was all they could multiply. So that is confirmation that he knew when he was putting the talents in their hands what they can handle. When God's given you more than one talent, do you know what God is saying to you? You can handle all of these gifts I've given you. You can handle what I've given you. If he's given you two, if he's given you five, if he's given you 10, God is saying to you, I never would have trusted you with all of these gifts if I did not know you could handle them. Let me just throw this out. Some of you may notice, some of you may not. But the only part of the Bible that works for you is the part you believe. And the only part of the Bible you believe, listen to this, is the part you know. Let me put it this way. What you don't know, you can't believe. What you can't believe, you can't receive. Your persuasion is akin to your Bible knowledge. In other words, the more word you know and believe, the stronger your persuasion to be able to do a thing will be. The little you know, the little you do, the little you'll have. The greater you know, the greater you do, the greater you'll have. It's all akin to your word knowledge. That's why the devil does not want you to know much of the word. He wants you to be caught up on feelings and emotions and all of that stuff. Those things don't move God. What moves God is his word. His word. You've got to know that word, and know that, and understanding that gives you the insight, and he gives you instructions on how to handle certain things. Now, he gave all of them trust on the levels they could handle. This and that, this. He then gave all of them talents that he trusted them with. All three of them got talents. They were different, but they were talents. Thirdly, he gave all of them, this is going to blow your mind, time to do something with the talents. And trusted that with time, they would do something that was worthwhile with the talents. Now listen to this. When he came back, he called them all in, or he required of them what they had done at the same time. So he didn't give the one with one talent any less time than he gave the one with the five talents. And he didn't give the one with the five talents more time because he had more talents than he did the person with the one talent. He gave them all the same time. God gives us all 24 hours in one day. Whether you've got one talent or 10 talents, he's giving you the same amount of time in each day to work your talent, to see how faithful you're going to be with your talent. God trusts you with your talent. And so if you're going to be productive, he's going to give you the time to be productive. The question becomes, how sincere are you with the gift or the talent that God has given to you? Now, let me tell you something else that he expected and required of all three of them. One, to manage their talent. To manage their talent. All three were required to manage their talent. Listen, you are responsible for your talent, for managing your talent. You know what? Every day God gives to you, God expects you to manage the talent in that day, to pay attention to that talent, to cultivate that talent, to define that talent, to be able to build that talent. Now you say, well, I don't have enough time. Why don't you have enough time? You're the manager. What are you doing with that time? Because you know what? If you like sleeping 12 hours a day, then cut back on some of your sleep and manage your talent with some of that time. If you get up and rip and run from morning till night, cut out some of that ripping and running and manage your talent. You see, there is no excuse to God for not managing something as important as that he has entrusted to you. See, you got to say to God, God, you gave me one, but I'm gonna give everything I got to this one. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability because you trusted me with this one. One. Listen, Jesus puts a premium on one. Man had 100 sheep. 99 were safe. One got lost. He locked the 99 up and went searching for them. The one. Why? Because the one was important to God. Amen. Don't ever make small of what God has given you. Don't say, well, God, you know, you gave him singing and you gave her this and you gave them that and all you gave me was this. Well, all that complaining says that that's all you could handle, and you're not handling that too good. Okay? So manage what God has given you to the best of your ability. What else did he require of them? Here's the next thing that's going to blow your mind again. He not only made them responsible for managing their talent, but he also held them responsible and accountable for multiplying their talent. See, the reason he gave them his goods and he was going off to a far country was to take what he had and make it make money for him. He could have put it all in the bank, but he didn't want interest. He wanted multiplication. How many of you know interest don't make multiplication? No. Investments make multiplication. He wanted them to invest what he had entrusted in them so that it would produce like kind. You see, if you manage it right and you know what you're doing and you invest, you have to take calculated risks. You've got to be able to say, this is what I've got to do. I can't just put this on the side and do nothing with this. I've got to make this thing work. And so understanding that, he takes your ability. If he gives it to you, you've already got the ability to do it. The question is, are you going to be astute enough to do what it takes to make the thing work? Are you going to study? Are you going to apply yourself? Are you going to seek? Are you going to get all that is necessary for you to do what it takes to take that investment that God has made in you and double that investment at least one time? Because here's what he's trusting. He's trusting that what he gave to you won't come back the same way he gave it to you. He's trusting you that he has put his goods in good hands. And so every time God gives you gifts and gives you talents, he gives you within that same arena the ability to multiply it. So don't say you can't, say you won't. Don't say you ain't got time. Say you ain't going to take time. Because everyone he's given gifts and talents to got the same time you got. The question is, how much time are you going to dedicate to doing what pleases God as opposed to what pleases you? Your own self-image, your own selfish desires, or rather proving yourself a faithful servant and steward of the Lord.